This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. It'll be Jesse Tapia for the handoff today, though. We got mad props to get to.
We do have mad props.
You and me crushed it this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fired up. James, Kyle, Jiffy Lube. All that jazz. Let's put a pin in the Kings conversation here for a moment. I want to reset the 49ers conversation we were having. They beat the Cowboys last night, 30-24. Now they go into their bye week at 4-4, and I think they are in a good spot, and I think that what we're going to see them do is be very aggressive at the trade deadline November 5th.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to go try and add a wide receiver. If they can add another tight end, they might. I know they've been trying to find a reliable pass catching tight end. Maybe that becomes available, but I think you're going to see like defensive line, linebacker, front seven focused moves from the 49ers. But they're going to get Christian McCaffrey back. I think that's going to be their quote unquote offensive acquisition at the deadline.
Of course.
And I think that's how they're going to kind of play this. But what I think anything is on the table though for them from an acquisition standpoint. What's now off the table for me is I saw some speculation from The Athletic. I think it was Diana Russini speculating that the 49ers might be looking to move Tre'Varius Ward and I think Deebo Samuel, but then you can probably throw D'Amador or Lenore in there as well as like players who are going to be free agents. I almost said on expiring contracts, who are going to be free agents at the end of the year. Who are making good money, who could help a contender. And the 49ers might be willing to unload those players for, you know, draft capital. Had they fallen to 3-5, I definitely would have been in that camp where, yeah, dude, if somebody wants to give you like a fourth round pick for Tre'Varius Ward and you don't think you're going to resign him, like, yeah, move him. If you're not sure what you're doing with Deebo and a team wants to call and offer you a second round pick for him, like, yeah, all right. But at 4-4, in a three-way tie for first in your division, with the Cardinals and the Seahawks, you're firmly in like playoff contention.
Yeah, you're right there.
You can't punt.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see the Niners be really aggressive in adding at the deadline. I'm a little bit surprised they weren't in on Josh Uche, who was traded to the Chiefs, a good player from New England, for a 2026 sixth-round pick, like a sixth-round pick in 2 years. You couldn't have done a fifth-round pick in 2 years or seventh-round pick next year? So that was kind of wild, but I think that's what we're going to see from them. And like we talked about earlier, I'm still kind of waiting to see, they're not Super Bowl contenders right now, but I think coming out of their bye week, depending on how that week goes, we might feel different about them going into week 10.
Yeah. Because Kyle, it's a good point. I think if you get to week 10 and let's just say you make like two acquisitions, for like a starting level defensive lineman, and some depth in the middle of your defense, whether it's safety, whether it's linebacker, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say that you get a healthy Christian McCaffrey, Dre Greenlaw comes back, and maybe Hufanga comes back.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough of an acquisition grouping that you could see this team taking a leap forward where they're no longer a quote unquote like around 500 team or like mm-hmm. maybe what we probably consider at this point like a 10-7 team if they're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could go to an 11-6 team. They could easily win the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just look at like some smaller moves that could help bolster what's happening, and then you get Greenlaw and you get McCaffrey back and you get Mason healthy and, you know, maybe you get Juwan Jennings back.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's potential for this team to roll, but there's also, you know, the injury bug can hit again.
Yeah.
And you probably need to address your line depth and you probably need to address a couple other things that you're doing. Yeah. And I don't think the Niners have like a wish list that's like six players deep going into this this trade deadline, but they should be out there being active. Like you don't want to waste a year of this team's potential.
And this is a super aggressive front office. They have made, you could go back, Christian McCaffrey trade, the DeForest Buckner trade. Now granted they traded away DeForest Buckner, but that was a significant risk that they were willing to take in the trade market. They went and got Emmanuel Sanders a few years back.
Randy Gregory
and Chase Young last year. Yeah. Like they needed help on the edge, so they went and made two trades there. Wouldn't surprise me if they made two trades for edge players again this year.
Yeah.
Like Sam Okwuonu has been a really nice little revelation for them, but they're still really thin on the interior. You always need edge help, especially when Leonard Floyd is not being super productive.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them absolutely making a couple of trades at one position. Like making that defensive line of strength again would be huge. And I saw somebody in the chat, David J, said Niners seem like they have issues getting pressure from the defensive line. That could help protect the secondary without much else added. I totally agree. Like their secondary has been really good as a thing. A couple of their sacks last night on I think they got to Dak Prescott twice, were both coverage sacks.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with their secondary. So yeah, if you get an even better defensive line, like that's where, like, yeah, hey, that one small change could be a significant boost for their defense.
Well, that, and you have to look at how the defensive line feeds the defensive backfield and defensive backfield feeds the defensive line,
mm-hmm.
right? And what we saw yesterday was, you know, again, a defensive line get to Dak Prescott and he threw interceptions.
Right.
Right? So yes. You have that. And then you have your coverage sacks. So, mm-hmm. like, these two groups need to start working better together.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, I think a lot of it lies within the middle where Fred Warner feels like he's out there on an island trying to do everything by himself.
Yeah.
And totally. So like it makes it a little tough, but overall, like I think they are probably like two solid rotational players away on the defensive side of the ball, maybe one interior and one outside, you know, pass rush type guy.
The other thing I'm really interested to see after the bye week is if, because one of the reasons the 49ers are so good after the bye week is the internal scouting they do, the self-scouting they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, for all of Kyle Shanahan's faults, it's something I think he's very good at. It wouldn't shock me at all if after the bye week you saw way less Devondre Campbell. They've already started integrating D. Winters more
mm-hmm.
as a third linebacker. They've been running more base defense where they have three linebackers on the field instead of two. And D. Winters ended up at the end of the Chiefs game was the second linebacker in the nickel. I don't want to get super far into it. But basically yeah. D. Winters was playing more is the crux of it. And then he didn't play as much last night. He got the concussion. But after the bye week, it wouldn't shock me if the 49ers look at their defense and look at the trade market. And unless they can go add a linebacker that they feel great about, or maybe they feel really good about Dre Greenlaw coming back and playing at a high level,
mm-hmm.
which would be kind of surprising coming off a torn Achilles. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if you saw way less Devondre Campbell and more D. Winters, because that's just, they're not athletic enough in the second level. And I think it's been a huge problem for them. And Devondre Campbell knowing where to be on the field is great, but it doesn't matter if you're going to be a step late getting there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one change they could make without, I think you can improve your defense that way without having to go make a trade.
Yeah, so. I think so too. And if you hope that Greenwood comes back, then, you know, maybe you have something.
Yeah, I think so. The other one is Juwan Jennings. That's a big one. He's been out the last 2 weeks with a hip injury. If they thought it was going to be longer term, he probably would have gone on IR. So I think they're expecting him back after the bye.
Yeah, I'm going to
guess. That's
kind
of what Kyle Shanahan's been intimating. Jordan Mason's dealing with a shoulder injury. Getting another full week off for him will be good. I'm really interested to see once Christian McCaffrey comes back what the backfield looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, you can't, and if you missed it, Kyle Shanahan said that his practice window is going to be opened this week, and then the expectation is he'll return shortly after the bye, probably week 10. So when he comes back, you can't just go give him 22 touches a game again. That's about what he averaged last year. This is a guy dealing with Achilles tendonitis that you have to now manage for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So I don't imagine they're going to go lean on him for 22 touches a game. So figuring out how do you integrate Jordan Mason? How do you integrate Isaac Garendo? I think he showed last night that he's a player that... Remember when Raheem Mostert first started getting utilized with the 49ers in the backfield with Tevin Coleman and with Matt Breida? It was like a handful of carries a game. And it was like, hey, outside zone left, outside zone right, can you break a touchdown? Can you break a big play? That to me is what Isaac Garendo can be for you.
Yeah, I
totally. 4 or 5 carries a game. You get Jordan Mason, 7, 8 carries a game. You get back to being a run-first offense. You're taking some of the workload off of Christian McCaffrey. Like, you have the depth to do it. You just need to go do it now.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. I would love to see sets where Jordan Mason is in the backfield with Christian McCaffrey split out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, get them both on the field because I think you don't... I think you want 10 to 12 carries a game still for Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's third in the league in rushing yards still. Yeah. And that's with him playing with a banged up shoulder for 2 weeks. And, mm-hmm. you know, he easily could rush for 1,000 yards a season. I would expect him to. And I think you need to keep him going. And then Garendo, I would love to see him, like, when was the last time the Niners had a really high quality third down back? Was it Jerick McKinnon? And even then, he was hurt. Like, mm-hmm. I would like to see if they can make him into a third down back and a special teams guy who goes out there and runs some of these special plays on kick returns.
Who is this?
Garendo.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. He had 3 catches last night. Like,
yeah, that was get him out there. Highs.
Yeah. Get him out there. See what he can do.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. They have the talent to continue being an effective offense, even without Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm... really, really interested to see after the bye week what this all looks like because their offense has not looked like their offense for the first few weeks. Looked more like it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Man, watching George Kittle run after the catch was a lot of fun. It's like, where's that been all year? Oh, look, creative stuff to get the ball in Debo Samuel's hands. That's fun.
Yep.
And he didn't work super effectively. I know he had the one long catch. The screen that he dropped might have been a house call.
Mm.
They had that blocked up.
Yeah.
And he just...
tough.
A little bit of a high throw, and he couldn't pull it down.
So many offensive mistakes with penalties.
Oh, have the cost penalties his team, were killer, man.
They've cost his team huge, huge runs and catches and touchdowns mm-hmm. multiple times this season.
Yeah.
Like, man, stop with that and the illegal formation stuff. It's just been bonkers this season. Like, it's really messed up, like, sort of the flow of an NFL game.
Last thing on the Niners real quick. I am stunned. Absolutely floored. That a special teams play did not swing the game last night.
I was too.
Stunned.
I told when they punted late with like 3.5 minutes, I said, here comes a special teams play.
And I was, yeah, probably.
Probably.
They had Kevontae Turpin, the Cowboys kick returner, who's one of the best, if not the best kick returner in the league right now, kick and punt returner, dropped a kickoff, muffed it, and just had it bounce right back up to him, and he still got across the 30.
Impressive.
Like, bro. There were just, and they, what? The other thing I don't understand what Dallas is doing was they kept running. So they've been doing all year the fake where Turpin has it and he runs to the right and another guy comes up behind him, pause, and they fake the pitch to him, to the guy coming around.
Yeah.
And they fake that pitch and then they finally did it last night. It's like, why are you doing that against this coverage team? Just block it up and run.
Just go.
Why are you getting fancy? This team stinks. Or I shouldn't say this. This special teams unit stinks.
Don't church it up, nerd.
Just go, dude. What are you doing?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, man. So shout out to the Niners special teams. The first game all year that they haven't had a major calamity on special teams where, like, man, there were so many opportunities after any of their touchdowns in the third quarter. A long kick return could have swung the game. You mentioned the punt, their last punt at the end of the game with a few minutes left, with like three and a half minutes left, whatever.
Yep.
A big return there could have swung the game. There were so many places where special teams could have been a problem. Anders Carlson came in, drilled all three of his field goals, drilled all of his extra points. I'm just saying, the 49ers drafted a kicker in the third round, and now they have signed two guys off the street who have yet to miss a field goal.
Mm. Wow.
Draft
wow.
pick usage, baby.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jake Moody. Hope he's healthy soon. All right. Let's get back to the Kings.
Let's get back to the Kings.
That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Sacramento Kings taking on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Do you think, just real quick, we got keys to the game coming up. We've got our official prediction as well. But do you think we see the same rotations for Mike Brown tonight? Like, he's going to try the rotation that he used against the Lakers. Because we saw in the first game against Minnesota, it was just like mix and match, and this guy's going to play 6 minutes, and this guy's going to play 11 minutes, and it's just kind of, here's some Doug McDermott for you. It was kind of a smorgasbord of rotation players.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw, like, against the Lakers, like, Keon Ellis is a DNPCD, did not play coach's decision.
Yeah.
Do you think we see him stick with the rotation for 4 or 5 games and see how it goes? Or maybe he starts with the same rotation he had against the Lakers tonight and makes adjustments as the game goes on? How do you think this is going to look?
Yeah, I think he's going to broaden his approach a little bit. But I honestly, this is my 15th year covering Sacramento Kings. In my first 12 years, I had 9 different head coaches. So, like, look, I've seen this from so many head coaches. When things are difficult early in a season, or you go through a stretch where things have gone wrong, and let's be honest, the training camp / preseason for the Sacramento Kings was not ideal, right? They mm-hmm. they go 0-5, but just don't worry about the 0-5. Worry about the fact that Trey Lyles gets cleared to go back on the court 2 days before the season starts, and Kevin Huerter realistically was like 3 days before that where he was actually able to play functional basketball. Mm-hmm. Wasn't cleared to play a preseason game. Mike Brown, I believe, is trying to shrink his rotation as tight as possible to get that group, the group that he relies on every single night, to build continuity as quickly as possible. You're going to play a ton of minutes. You're going to play together. Sometimes bad things will happen, and we're going to stay the course, and we're going to try to get this thing moving the right way. He's playing a 7-man rotation with Alex Len playing 10 minutes. So you can call it a 7.5-man rotation.
Man.
And that's crazy, but at the same time, I totally understand what he's trying to do. He's just trying to get the team back on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're on the right path and everyone's moving like clockwork, then you can start filtering in other players. Now, you go into a game against a team like Portland, who has some really exciting scoring guards and stuff, right? You probably need Keon Ellis in this game.
I would agree.
Now, you might not have needed that against the Lakers, because the Lakers are running a bunch of tall dudes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you didn't need that. But for right now, I think Mike is trying to figure out how to contract and then slowly expand his rotation back out while filtering players in. And I don't think it's anything personal against Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very much that, you know, Kevin Huerter had a really good start to the game, hit 4 threes. He was super active, and you need him to keep building on that. And you're watching Trey Lyles struggle, and you need to get him through that. The only way for Trey to go out there and do this is, I mean, look, the Kings played on Thursday, had Friday off, flew to LA, played on Saturday, had Sunday off. Now they play against Portland tonight. They play against Utah tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no practice time to go get Trey Lyles ready.
Sure.
The only thing you can do is shove him out there and say, hey, man, do your best. We'll try to have your back, but do your best. Just get right. And get yeah. right on the court. And it's not easy, but I think that's what we're seeing from the Kings.
They just, the Sabonis and DeRozan 37 minutes, Keegan 40 minutes, De'Aaron 41 minutes. Like, dude, that is not sustainable for a long time.
No, and I don't think it's intentional.
There's diminishing returns eventually. Like, early in the season, it's fine. And I know it's not intentional. Mike Brown even said
yeah.
after the first game against Minnesota, like, I don't want De'Aaron and these guys playing 43 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're doing here. But at the same time, this is now back-to-back games that Keegan and De'Aaron have played 40-plus minutes. And like I said, it's a, okay, first couple of games, you got that figured out. But the point is, there's a little bit of urgency here.
Yes.
Because starting to play those guys, if you're going to do that in a playoff game or a playoff game, okay, yeah, that's fine. But two games into the year, like, man, at some point, you got to start cutting those minutes way, way back.
Yeah, the urgency is to get the team on the right path. Once the team's on the right path, then we'll see it expand.
Yeah. Let's get to keys to victory. Tonight, I have not finished my keys, but I know what they are. So you go first. James Hamm, key to victory number one for the Sacramento Kings.
Be the more physical squad. I think Portland, the one thing that Portland does do is they play hard and they play physical. And if you don't match their physicality, if you don't beat their physicality, they can jump up and beat you. And where physicality shows up, Kyle, is in those 22 offensive rebounds that they posted yesterday by New Orleans. If that's who you are tonight, if you're going to get killed on the offensive glass and that's what who you are supposed to be as a team, then that's on you. Like, you know what this team is. They're not a great shooting team. They're a team that has a weird collection of players. They won, what, 21, 22 games last year? Mm-hmm. This is a team this is a game you got to get, but it's a team that's playing on the second night of the back-to-back. Be the more physical team. Take it to them.
Yeah, my first key goes right along with that, so we'll just tie it in here. Take this game seriously, man. Take this as make it a challenge to go, win this game, but make it a challenge to try and go win by 30. And maybe you don't. Maybe it's 10 points. But hitting the gas out of the gate and not just throwing your jersey on the court and going, oh, this is a bad team, we'll go win this one. You very clearly can't do that, man. So I would like to see them hit the gas early, get ahead early, and finish them off.
No, that makes perfect sense, man. They need to take these games serious. And this is a home game. Like, you're about to go on a 4-game road trip, and you need to take it serious.
Yep. Right there with you. Number two.
That's a typo. figure out who the fourth quarter finisher
Figure-er.
Is. Yeah, like, they need to figure out who is going to be the finisher, because right now, and again, this can bounce back and forth, but right now, it kind of feels like it's a little forced. And I think that's what we're seeing. I saw some plays where, you know, again, I think DeMar DeRozan in the first two games has forced a couple of shots, and he's just trying to figure it out, and I get it. But, you know, like, he forced a 17-foot jumper, like, during the 21-0 run, with a guy in his face and sitting right in the corner was either Kevin Huerter or Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. One of your two best three-point shooters is sitting right there, and he just didn't see him, or he didn't get the ball to him. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to figure this out between him and Fox. Fox missed two 11-foot jumpers. Like, Fox is so good in the mid-range. And to miss two 11-foot jumpers during the 21-0 run, again, it's not like the Kings turned the ball over every time. They missed a bunch of shots. So figure out who's going to be that guy in the fourth quarter and rely on it.
Yeah, and that's for tonight and moving forward through the rest of the year. Like, that's going to be a major, major talking point for the Kings as we get it. Hopefully, though, they don't get into a situation tonight where they need to, like, close out a close fourth quarter. Hopefully, they can take it to this Blazers team. And
that would be ideal.
Number two for me, dominate the bench minutes. The Blazers have Scoot Henderson coming off the bench. They have rookie Donovan Clingan. They have Chris Murray and a second round pick from a couple of years ago named Jabari Walker were their four leaders in minutes off the bench against the Pelicans. When those guys are on the court, go win those minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That is Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, Keon Ellis, Alex Len, whoever's on the court. With that second unit, you have to go outscore them by a lot. They had 12, 21, they had 30 points off the bench last night. Go outscore them 50 to 30.
That it's a good point, but I'll tell you, Kyle, one of the problems the Kings have had is that second unit, and the opening unit and the closing unit have both they both have incredible net ratings. It's what happens in between that isn't there yet, and they got to figure it out.
Yeah. Number three.
My last one. With the crash zone. Like, anyone? Ah.
Love the crash zone.
Anyone? Like, that was supposed to be like a point of emphasis. Against the Lakers, the Kings had 5 offensive rebounds against...
Domas had 3 of them.
Yeah.
Domas isn't in the crash zone. Domas is just in
grabbing
the paint
offensive
doing work.
Rebounds. Yes. Yeah. And then against Minnesota, they had 4. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're talking about. You know, you want to be up around 8 to 10, and then you see these two teams that just played yesterday, 15 and 22. Now, a lot of that's because there was a lot of missed shots, I'm mm-hmm. going to assume, because if there's that many offensive rebounds, that means a bunch of people missed shots. but overall, the Kings need to get better in that, especially since it's a point of emphasis.
Yeah, man. I just, you have DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan didn't have a rebound against the Lakers.
Yeah.
Can I get one?
It's really tough to blame
Keegan
a guy like...
Keegan only had four.
But see, Keegan had 11 rebounds in the opener in mm-hmm. game two when he has to defend LeBron James for long stretches. He mm-hmm. doesn't get in the crash zone, so it's difficult.
Man.
Yeah.
Yikes. Number three for me, shut the faucet off on Anfernee Simons. That is the catalyst for Portland.
Yeah.
If he's going to hit six threes, you might have a rough night. If you can slow him down a little bit, they don't have a ton of recourse when he's not scoring, especially with Shaden Sharpe out.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't, like Scoot Henderson, we talked about it a little bit earlier, not a great scorer at this point in his career. You shut off the faucet with Anfernee Simons, and you have a really, really good chance of beating Portland.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah. That's right. A very good point.
You got a prediction for us?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like Kings by 12.
Okay.
Like 124-112.
Yeah, I'm going to go 120-104.
Oh.
I think it's a comfortable win. I also think we see more Jordan McLaughlin tonight. Jordan McLaughlin's the kind of guy that could give Anfernee Simons some minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
I would like to see Keon Ellis get some time on.
Yep. Would love to see that as well. All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we are here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, and Jesse Tapia, producer for D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon on ESPN 1320. But Jesse is here, of course, for Mad Props.
My favorite segment of the week.
You're not in program one anymore. Now you are.
My favorite segment of the week.
Nice, dude. Yeah, no, it's a fun time. We love having you in here. Can't wait to talk about Tua sliding.
Yeah, that was sick.
That's a big deal. Scooter 916 in the chat wanted us to tell somebody... asked, can someone please tell Brock it's okay to slide feet first? Yeah, he's a baseball player. How's he not sliding feet first?
How does he slide?
I've decided, by the way, that if you didn't play baseball at some kind of high level, I don't want you playing quarterback.
Okay, why?
Because I think in the modern NFL, all the stuff that like middle infielders have to do, where you're flipping your hips to throw and different arm angles and stuff, like the touchdown pass that Brock threw last night to George Kittle, where the blitzer's coming off the edge and he has to drop down sidearm, like that's just a shortstop move, dude. That's the classic like flip to second. He drops that arm slot, gets it over there. Like that's a throw that you don't naturally have in your bag if you just grew up just playing quarterback.
Now I'm curious, like which quarterbacks in the NFL have not played baseball?
I would love to, like, it's some kind of like travel ball, right? You didn't have to like, you didn't have to go play in college or be drafted or anything, but just enough that muscle memory is there, because that's the thing with Mahomes, right?
Oh yeah.
Everybody always leans on why Mahomes is a baseball player, and you see it in the way he moves and the way he throws.
Yeah, coaching soccer.
Russell Wilson.
One of the most frustrating things is all of the kids that are there that have only ever played soccer.
Yeah.
So, like, you have goalies. The keeper doesn't know how to get down and field a ball like a ground ball. They don't know how to take a knee and field a ground ball. Defenders don't know how to slide. They don't, like, slide tackling? You think it's all natural. No, you learn how to slide playing baseball and on a slip and slide. You don't go, and then you have kids who are out there who, like, well, I don't really slide. And then the baseball kids go, whew, flying by everywhere. You're like, look at the baseball kids. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting how the sports, how if you're not playing multiple sports like I did when I was growing up, like, you know how to do so much more. You know, so much more muscle memory.
Yeah, Zibble brings up Kyler Murray.
Should definitely play multiple sports when you grow up.
Yeah, that's it. Dr. Nirav Pandya from UCSF. We have him on the program from time to time, friend of the show. And he is adamant about, just for health reasons, like playing multiple sports growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why, we could get into a whole thing about this. I believe Russell Baxter, is it, from ESPN? Okay. Is that his name? Did the like, two-part series on how NBA players are coming into the league at 19 with, like, the ligaments of guys in their mid-30s. Because they've only been playing basketball since they were 8, and they're playing on the AAU circuit, so it's just year-round, just constantly playing basketball, and they're not training any other muscles or ligaments in their body to move different ways.
Yeah,
and it's just that constant usage of those ligaments and muscles that is just wearing guys down way earlier than they used to.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fascinating. Anyways, play multiple sports kids. Don't specialize in sports until after high school. Anyways, let's get to Mad Props. We had we also have to get to our, we also have not hit our Jiffy Lube teamwork play of the game from Saturday. We'll also have that coming up for you. But first, speaking of Saturday, we got to get to Mad Props, where we had the Kings game against the Lakers on Saturday, matched up against the 49ers game against the Cowboys last night. Two props, which one's higher? We'll figure it out. Here we go.
It's time for Mad Props.
Yeah,
two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
I'm going to redo that intro. Kyle, James, and Jesse. No disrespect.
It's all good.
I haven't redone the intro.
Honestly,
you don't have to yell at me about it.
Better that way.
Jeez. Okay.
I like being low-key, bro.
Okay, very good. No, it's very
good
for
you. He doesn't need his own theme band.
That explains why you didn't do very well this week.
I did poorly this week?
Yeah, it's tough.
Oh.
Not poorly. Poorly compared to how you started, because you started on fire.
I got you. We just had a bad week, though.
Yeah. All right, number one. We had Jordan Mason rushing attempts or De'Aaron Fox field goal attempts. We all thought Fox would put on more of an offensive show than he did in the Kings season opener. And boy, did he. 20 field goal attempts for him. Jordan Mason, of course, left early in the second quarter. Or left late in the second quarter. Did not return. Six carries. Luckily, we all had De'Aaron Fox. That's a big win for all three of us.
Shout out to us.
We did a great job there. I would love to know what that number would have looked like for Mason had he stayed in the game.
Yeah. What did Guerrero finish with?
14.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's 20. Exactly 20.
Yeah, he probably would have been like 16 or 17.
Yeah, but the game probably goes different because we talked about it earlier. Like, Isaac Guerrero came in that game and a switch flip for the Niners offense.
Yeah, that's true.
If they didn't have the holding call on his third long run in a row after he came in the game, they're in the red zone. And looking to score a touchdown before the half. That Brock Purdy fumble was brutal.
Not great.
The one where he went to pump fake and the ball just fell out of his hand. God, that was so Jimmy G of him.
Oh, that's tough. Don't do that.
That was the most Jimmy G-ass play he's ever made. Oh, it was so annoying. Anyways, number two. We had Brock Purdy pass attempts or Malik Monk points and assists.
I went on a limb on this one.
Yeah, you went Monk points and assists. Got close. James and I went Brock Purdy pass attempts. 26 pass attempts for Brock Purdy, 19 points and assists for Malik Monk.
That's not close. You don't have to be nice to me, bro. That's not close at all.
Did get to 17 points. Didn't have the assist numbers to quite get you there. I tried. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Don't what is it? Don't patronize me.
Again, though, I would it's fine. I was gonna say I would have loved to see Brock Purdy's pass attempts if Jordan Mason stayed in the game, but it might have been higher because he just was not being effective.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right. Number three, Ricky Pearsall receptions or Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts. We had a close one. 4 catches for Ricky Pearsall, 3 3-point attempts for Domantas Sabonis. We all rolled with Pearsall, and we all get the W.
Shout out Ricky Pearsall. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks solid. And shout out to Domas. 7 3-point attempts for 2 games.
I'm with it.
I think we said 3 to 3.5.
Yeah.
And you get to 3 or 3.5 a game, and sure enough, look at that. He is scoring. What do you have in the first game? 24 points, and 29 against the Lakers. Look at that. Love to see it.
Yep.
Love to see it from Domas. Number three. Four. We're on number four now. George Kittle targets or Keegan Murray rebounds. James, you went Keegan Murray rebounds. Jesse and I rolled with George Kittle targets. It was a huge game for George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. 7 targets, 4 rebounds for Keegan Murray. It is uncanny how much cool tight end stuff happens on National Tight Ends Day. Did you see the stat that tight ends had more catches yesterday than in any day in NFL history?
Yes, I did see that.
I wonder, do offensive coordinators like take that into account?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They know, it's National Tight Ends Day. We're going to drop a couple of plays.
No, they're not like, hey, fellas, you know what day it is.
Are you Kittle, sure, though?
Kittle. You know what Sunday is.
But it's like Kyle Pitts is going off and Brock Bowers is going off and Sam LaPorta, I think, had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think they take to it into fair, account a little
did,
bit.
You did name 3 guys that have been going off. Well, Pitts has been more so the last few weeks, but
that's a good point.
LaPorta and Bowers.
Kate Otten had a
huge Kate Otten, like, come on, bro. You almost lost me a fantasy game last week because you just erupted out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Even McBride had 127 yards receiving or something.
Yeah, all these guys who are undoubtedly good players, like you said, just all kind of blew up in the same week, which leads me to believe there are offensive coordinators around the league going, hey, we're in the red zone. We've got 1st and goal at the 1. We're going to try and get our tight end a touchdown.
It's red area time.
Tyler Jennings says last year on Tight Ends Day, that was the old record. Do we got a conspiracy going on over here? Are we just cooking up the books on Tight Ends Day every year?
Maybe.
I think it's possible.
I think it's worth prize picking.
They're all pumped up. I think they're all like, hey, it is. And, you know, a couple of guys have a good start.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, oh, this is going to be my day. Yeah. And you go out there with a little bit of extra juice, the quarterback's going to find you. They notice it.
Or is it the Dallas' defense isn't very good and George Kittle just kind of rumbled through?
That's it.
Lose that too.
It might be that. Number, what are we on? 5? 5?
Sounds right.
5. I think so.
49ers red zone touchdown rate or Kings 3-point percentage. Jesse, I respect you so much for rolling with the bit and picking the Kings. Didn't quite go right. The 49ers 75% touchdown rate in the red zone. The Kings did not shoot 75% from 3. They shot 34.1%.
Wasn't even close.
No. That's tough.
Sometimes you got to take a shot.
No, I respect it. You're shooting for the Niners like 1 for 4. Maybe 2 for 5, and the Kings have a hot shooting night.
It's so funny because I leave Matt props every week. Like, huh, this could be the week I might go undefeated this week. Every time, too. It doesn't even matter, huh?
And you didn't do that this week?
Oh, I did. Like I said, I just do it every time. Doesn't even matter.
I love the confidence.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
We're not playing for anything.
Because you know what? 1 week it might happen. The week it does, like, yeah, I was right.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing for bragging rights.
It's very good. The last one, 49ers total points or Sacramento Kings leading scorer. James, you rode with 49ers total points. Jesse and I said, nah, the Kings are going to have a leading scorer that scores more than the 49ers do. The 49ers scored 30.
Close.
The Kings' leading scorer had 29. It was Domantas Sabonis. 29 for Domantas Sabonis.
But 27? Jesse and I catch it. 28 for Fox?
28 for Fox, yeah. Jesse and I both catch an L there. My first L, by the way. I went 5-1. James, you went 5-1. Jesse, 3-3. Jesse now 22-13-1 on the year. I'm 25-20-3. James, you are 31-14-3.
I'll take 500 for the week.
31-14-3.
Yeah.
Domination.
It's a good number.
17
sure.
games over 500.
We also have our little side quest going on.
Oh, yeah, that one was close on Saturday.
Which team loses first? the Chiefs or the Celtics. The Celtics had a way too close call against my Detroit Pistons.
Hey, you might not this year, but the Pistons might be something next year. They don't miss. It's pretty insane the way they play.
Yeah.
They haven't won yet, but it's not like, oh, you guys stink out loud. It's like, oh, I see the vision.
Gave Boston a run. The Raiders gave the Chiefs a run.
Yeah.
Whew.
We're heating up.
Close.
Ooh.
James has the Chiefs losing before Boston. Jesse and I have Boston losing before the Chiefs. We will continue keeping track of that on Mad Props. Speaking of Saturday night, let's put a bow on Saturday night. We have not yet gotten to our Jiffy Lube teamwork play of the game. We're going to do that right now, courtesy of our friends at NBC Sports. Here's Keegan Murray getting up and throwing one down.
Malik. Lakers retreat. You know, he went to the top floor, Katie. He skipped 1 through 10 and went all the way up. Malik.
What I love about this play, Kyle, is if the people who cannot see this at home, who aren't on YouTube and just listening on the radio, is Alex Len seals off the goal for him to go up and dunk this ball.
Yeah.
And Alex Len tried this piece like a minute later and got called for an offensive foul on another big dunk.
Is that Jackson Hayes that he's just sunning underneath there? Look at this. This is a child playing with his dad and dad just not having it.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but he clearly gets just crushed by the Alex Len seal off.
Also, Keegan elevated from way the hell out there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good little.
That's impressive. From
he's
Keegan.
Up there too. Like what? Like oh yeah, extension. Look at that.
Is that Hachimura or Jackson Hayes? I think that's Rui.
Who is 12 on?
I think that's Rui. I'm pretty sure that's Rui. Jesse, can you confirm that? I'm pretty sure that's Rui Hachimura.
That's Max Christie.
Oh, it's
that's Max.
Max
Christie?
Yes, Max Christie.
I'm way less impressed. I'm so much less impressed by this now. I don't know. Max that's just Christie. Rude.
He is 6'5". Yeah, he's just getting
him out. Hey, Max.
I can't believe they paid Max Christie $32 million American dollars.
That's crazy talk what they gave. I mean,
just every minute he was on the floor is like, oh, look, Colby Jones in a Laker jersey. That was the vibe I got.
Yeah. Okay. It's tough. He got dunked on. I mean, he's kind of out of the way.
He got shoved aside by Alex Len. He got sunned by Alex Len. Here we go. Here he is getting, all right, gets sunned by Alex Len. I'm not really sure what he's doing there.
Oh, it's Jackson Hayes that gets burnt to the basket. That's
where Jackson Hayes is. Okay, I knew he was involved in the play.
A little barbecue chicken
right
there.
All right, so Jackson Hayes gets, oh my God, what is this?
He even tries to grab.
So, okay, good closeout. Okay, arms out. Why, hand up, Jackson. What is this? Oh. What is this? What are you guarding?
Some Matador defense.
That's a 40%+ 3-point shooter lining up a corner three, and you've got your arms out to guard the passing lanes?
It's possible he read the scouting report that Keegan Murray is left-handed, because that's what it looks like. He's going to his left, but Keegan shoots with his right, bro.
Like, use the baseline as a defender. What is it? What are you defending here? What the... Okay, arms out. Yeah, got to defend that dump off to Alex Len for sure. All right, now let's completely over pursue it. Let's foul him. Foul. That's fine.
Grab.
This is not.
That's not right.
This is what is happening. God bless Trey Lyles, our guy down here in the corner. Like, get it to me, Keegan.
He's not even behind the line though. Like,
get it to me for this long too.
Yeah, Trey lining up for a mid range shot right now.
This is our Jiffy Lube teamwork play of the game. By the way. And then we've got, I don't want to copy the video address. Get away from me, Twitter. And then we've got, okay, Jackson Hayes blow by. He's like, all right, I'm not even going to try and get back in this play. And then this is a foul. Alex Len is fouling the hell out of Max Christie right now.
I don't know, that's a foul. Seal.
That's a classic, this guy's 7 feet tall and I'm 6'1".
It's the rap. You're not allowed to rap. I'll give you, this is a holding call in the NFL for sure.
You're wearing him like a backpack. What is happening here?
Yeah, that's...
It just suns him, and then Max, get out of the way,
yeah,
Max!
Yeah, what are you doing?
Max, run away! Fall down!
He's like trying to jump, and Alex Len's like telling him, like, no, just stay here.
Like, look, he's making $8 million a year. I understand he needs to give a little bit of effort, but you have to recognize here, you're beat.
Yeah,
you got beat.
It's not your fault either, Max. It's Jackson Hayes' fault. Just get out the way.
Yeah, sorry for everybody listening on the radio. This is more of a visual thing, but Max Crispy is... Max Crispy.
That's exactly what
right,
it is.
Yeah.
It sounds like... It's, never mind. He's getting sunned by Alex Len under the basket. Probably fouled. No call. But as he's like... Alex Len's got a body on him. Keegan's elevating, and he still tries to jump. Oh, no, Max. Get out of there, dude. There's sometimes you got to make a business decision. At this point, you've been whacked, so you're getting fouled here. Fall down. Just fall down, maybe draw a penalty or maybe draw a foul, and you don't get have this happen to you.
Back up and run down the court.
You don't have this this is just Max. Oh no, this is the worst. Yeah, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here. That's just That's Kyle. Our Jiffy Lube teamwork player of the game. Shout out to
Max. Doesn't even know he got dunked on too. He's not even facing the play.
He has no clue. He just has no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Max.
Good stuff, man.
Shout out to Jiffy Lube. We love them very much. Let's take a look around the NFL real quick. A couple of things from yesterday. The Commanders-Bears game was insane.
That was amazing.
The Commanders walk off the Bears 18-15.
I've never been more out on coaches in my life, though. The Bears need new coaches.
The Bears need a new coaching staff so bad.
It's disgusting.
The two reasons why. They get down first and goal. I guess it was a third and goal at the two. Mm-hmm. Right, the one. And they try a fullback dive to a backup offensive lineman?
And he fumbles,
but didn't fumble he got hit. He just never received the ball because that's not what he does.
Exactly. Okay. What are you doing?
If you're up 20 and you're trying to get that guy a touchdown, okay, that's fun. You need to win the game. You need a touchdown to take the lead late in the fourth quarter, and you're going handoff to backup offensive linemen?
Okay, first of all, it was not backup offensive lineman day in the NFL.
It was not.
What are we doing?
It was not. That's November 26th. Everybody knows it.
Secondly, DeAndre Swift had 18 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown. He was averaging 7.2 yards per rush. And you don't hand it to your guy averaging 7.2 yards per rush at the one-yard line?
It's because you're a bad coach. That's
and because he is anti-James's fantasy football teams.
Oh, it's all just the big old conspiracy.
It is a big conspiracy to hold the Swift, Kirk, and the Dickers down.
Yep, no, FCC says that's cool.
That's our team. Swift. Yeah, we had Christian Kirk, and we used to have Cameron Dicker.
Are you guys in first, though, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And we're leading the league in scoring by a lot. Our defense, fire. I've been streaming defenses. Mm-hmm. I streamed Minnesota this week, tough scene, negative half a point. We still cleared 140 points.
Oh, nice.
Second highest scoring team in the league, I believe, this week.
Yeah, but our overall, scoring we're negative. By far the highest scoring team in the league.
Nobody cares about our fantasy team, but
we also have the three hottest running backs in the league right now.
Yeah, no, Derrick Henry is one, right?
Yep. What's that?
You got Derrick Henry, I'm assuming?
Jameer Gibbs
and
J.K. Dobbins. Oh, and DeAndre Swift.
And we have Dobbins.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a good job.
Where did you guys go?
Yeah, just cruising along. No, Tyreek Stevenson, though. Did you guys see this video?
Yeah.
If you missed it, Tyreek Stevenson, Bears defensive back, walking over to the Commanders crowd in the end zone and taunting them while the Hail Mary play is happening.
In the middle of the play.
Mid-play.
You haven't seen it, James?
I saw it.
He's standing there in the end zone, pointing at fans, doing the, get out of here, the
flexing.
Hand wave. Flexing, yeah, doing this thing, which is do your taunting. The play's happening. There are people moving, and you see Bears fans in the video hey, yeah, there's a play happening now. And he turns around, he jogs back towards the middle. He winds up being the guy who runs over a little late, a step late, jumps, gets a hand on the ball, but tips it up and backwards to Noah Brown.
I didn't realize he was the one who tipped it back either.
Yes.
I thought it was just I just saw the video at first. I wasn't even fully paying attention. I was poor guy, taunting, whatever. It's karma, blah, blah, blah. And then someone tweets yeah, he's the one who tipped it back.
Yes.
I didn't realize that either at the time.
And he got there because he was late. Mm-hmm. He had to do a running jump off one foot. Had he been boxing out and he probably is able to get up and knock that ball down, or at least not knock it so far back that it's getting all the way back to Noah Brown.
Or he should have been defending the guy who caught the ball.
That should have been his job on the play.
Yeah, and even if he would have tipped it across, they had receivers waiting for that as well. Mm-hmm. If it didn't go backwards, it was just such a poor play by that guy, because if he tips it over to the side, that's where you had two Commanders wide receivers mm-hmm. waiting to catch the ball and go for the 3 yards into the end zone.
That low-key feels like a momentum swing in a season type of thing right there. The Commanders are going to go, and the Bears, they would have went, 5-2?
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're 4-3, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4-3, yeah.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
You hate it for them. here's the deal. If you're Tyreek Stevenson, you are now like that's your that is who you are as a person.
Yeah, Tyreek Stevenson
Everybody's
is the guy who gave
the
Hail Mary.
The Raiders or 49ers signed Tyreek Stevenson in 5 years. We're going to go, hey, that's the guy from the you remember that Bears Commanders game? Jaden Daniels against that's the guy. The reward there, though, if he's talking all that trash, runs over late, jumps up, intercepts it, and the game ends, he's the coolest guy in the NFL.
I'd rather be the guy who won the game and did the right play. I mean, like, look, if he picks the ball off there, I'm doing a snow angel in the middle of the end zone. Like,
well,
like,
to be fair, too, if you're not even talking trash and you just tip it back and Washington wins, like, no one's even going to care that you did that. Because it's like, oh, wow, Washington did it. But the
that's
fact that you
point.
Were talking trash, like, that's why we know your name now.
The risk reward is not quite there.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. I also want to real quick, I'm out on Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, no, as soon as he sat out to play because he's tired, like, brother,
I'm done.
Like, pass out on the field. I don't care.
I'm done.
Even that's before just, that play, he was sitting there, like, on the bench with, like, me yeah, mugging
just,
the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
vibes bad. He's just not quite good enough to be checking out of games because he's tired. But then again, you mentioned that the play before that he had gotten hit low, and maybe he's worried about Joe Flacco taking his job, so he's hurting, but doesn't want to tell anybody that he's hurt. He's like, no, I was just tired.
But he let Flacco on the field. Like, that's the last thing he should do.
Yeah,
right
you can't
now.
You can't do that. The quarterback series on Netflix last season or whatever. Kirk Cousins every week is just screaming in pain, grabbing his ribs every time. Like, bro, get out there if you're tired.
Yeah. Man. I'm down on Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, no,
now.
He's done. He's not. It's not going
to
work.
Toast. The Texans beat the Colts 23-20. The Lions are awesome.
Yes.
They beat the Titans 52-14. Did you see at one point they had 40? They had 49. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we got to go.
Yeah, we have to go. They had 49 points and like 28 passing
Stupid
yards.
Dumb radio show talking with my friends.
This is crazy. I love this job so much. Appreciate you guys. Jesse will be with D'Lo and KC there coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.